Mark chapter 4, and in this text we have a great discourse, and in fact you come to down to verse 1, just too much to read right now. How about we come to verse 2. I'll just leave one verse out there. Save some time. Jesus said, then he taught them many things about parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside and birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop and sprang up and increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. Verse 9, and he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let me pause there for a moment before we explain this. Now, today we're talking about how to be better in everything. Say, how to be better at everything. That's a pretty big statement. You know, it might say it's hyperbole. It might say it's over the top. I believe it's actually true that there's a way that we can become better and be better at everything. And everything is inclusive of everything that touches your life, your health, your employment, your relationships, your finances. I mean, you name it, we can be better, but not in ourselves, all right? Now, Jesus in this parable is giving us principles. And really, when you read this whole chapter, and really the whole of Jesus' teaching, it was all about how to make people better. Bottom line, he was telling folk how to be or become better. And so that the principles contained in these scriptures came forth in parables. So why did he use parables? In fact, the question came and come down to verse 10. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked about the parable. So they wondered, Lord, you know, you spoke a parable. Why speak parables? He said to them, verse 11, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all these things are done in parables. Now listen, a parable is a story or an example that's used to convey a truth. Well, why doesn't Christ just come out and say what it is? He has a good reason for it. Now, again, in verse 9, he said, after he spoke the parable, he said, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. Well, why didn't he say it at first? Why didn't he say, okay, everybody, listen up, pay attention, I'm going to tell a story. You must listen very carefully. He didn't begin like that. He just began teaching. And when he finished, he said, if you have ears to hear, hear. Now, why did he do it afterwards? Here's the reason why. Jesus uses parables to appeal to people who are curious about the things of God. Basically, he is talking to folk who are interested and want to know more about how to be better in life. Let's face it. You can have a classroom of students. I've taught, maybe you've taught. And if people in there do not want to learn, you cannot make them learn. You can't make them learn. Now, if you want to, you can say, okay, I'm going to teach today. Y'all must sit up straight. You must pay attention. I want you to take good notes, you know, and be attentive. You can say that. But the fact is, the kids, the students who are going to listen are already listening. And those who are not going to listen won't start when you say listen. Now, what you do, now, in a classroom, In a classroom, you say it because you must let students know that you're going to be graded, right? So, I mean, I got to tell you up front, if you don't pay attention, it's going to hurt you on the back end of this thing. Now, I wish Jesus would make people pay attention. I wish he would make people listen. I wish God would do a lot of things, you know. But the bottom line is, God made a decision a long time ago when he made us, he created us in his image and likeness. He gave us this heart and mind that can make a choice. And God's creation, whom he loves so much, I mean, all of us, sometimes his own creation chooses not to listen to him. Now, we encourage folk. We pray for folk. We don't not encourage people. You know what I'm saying? But bottom line is, when Christ is teaching principles like this, he wants you to have a curious mind. He wants you to have enough curiosity to focus your heart on what is being said. And so parables are given. Basically, he wants to separate, you know, the people who want to hear from those who don't. He wants everybody to hear him now. Don't get me wrong. But Jesus knows, and we have found that we've learned that the best people, the best progress you make, the best change of experience, the best way to become better is to want to. How many want to be better? Yeah, yeah. And so that, if you notice, he spoke the parable. It was a brief teaching, I mean, just a few minutes. But then for those who came and asked him about the parable, he then explained it to all of them. He actually broke it down. He explained it. And so verses 13 and following, he talks about the parable. Now, I'm not going to teach that today. My point today to you is to encourage you on how to be better at everything. And there's two keys I'm going to give you here. I'll just tell you up front. The first key, we'll come to this text, but the first key is let your light shine. So I must let my light shine. And the second key is hear well. Say hear well. Now, we'll get into this, but those are the simple principles in this text we're going to take from Matthew, from Mark chapter 4. Now, come down a little further. Let's go to verse 21. And again, emphasize, Jesus does not push and pull. He invites. He invites us to experience a better life. Verse 21, Mark 4, 21 says, he also said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret that it should not come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. He said it again. He said it often. Then he said, verse 24, then he said, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, this all amplifies the point of hearing well. Let's first deal with this principle of let your light shine. This is all in the context of how to be better. All right? And so he said, verse 21, is a lamp to be put under a basket or under a bed? So a lamp would be a lantern in their day. In our day, it's like a lamp. We have lamps with, you know, that we have now fluorescent lights on our lamps. We put a lamp shade on. The shade just makes the light more diffuse. But a light is never intended. A lamp, you buy a brand new lamp, you know, you shop for it, you buy it, and you bring it home, unbox it, and you put your bulb in there and fix it all up, and then you go take and put it in the closet and turn it on. Doesn't make sense. Or you put it, you know, it's on your table, and go get a big box from the garage and take the box and just cover it up with a box. Doesn't make sense. I mean, there's no scenario where light not being seen makes sense. Amen? So Jesus said, basically, let your light shine. He even said it plainly in a different text. Let your light shine that men may see your good works and glorify God in heaven. Now get this now. We're talking about how to be better at everything. And so the first principle we come to is that your light really represents your unique purpose, your God-given abilities, what makes you special, what sets you apart from 5 billion people on the face of the earth. And it's amazing that God made all of us in his image and likeness, but all of us are different. All of us, our fingerprints are all different. You know, even identical twins, if you know them well, they're still different. My point is that the light of God in your life must not be hidden. Now, listen, I play golf. Golf is not my light. You know, I do many things that I've learned to do, but my light really goes to the areas that I'm doing, using my gifts and the talents and abilities to bless and serve God, to serve people. So that you can say, well, okay, you know, I was an artist, I was a kid, I could draw pictures and paint and all that real well. And so that was, you might say, a light. But really, it was not a light until I chose to use it to benefit people and bless God. See, lights are made to show the way. Lights are designed to clear out some darkness. Sometimes we're just like a very bright light that has a box thrown over it. That is, there's all of this grace inside of you, all of this blessing, all of this, all of what God's given, and yet we don't get to see it. We have our job. Now, listen, we all work our jobs. We're paid based on our abilities. Our light, you know, is certainly manifest in these areas. But yet, if we don't give these abilities somehow to God's purpose, they never get to shine the way God designed. You follow me? Now, let's make no mistake about it. We are made in God's image and likeness. Every one of us in here, God especially made us. And God, through Christ, put us in position where we can live and be successful and, you know, and pay our bills and all that. But there's more to life. There's more to life than getting a job and paying bills. Come on. You know, more to life even than being married and having a house and kids and a cat or a dog. And those things are all nice, but the light of God is more than just those things. You follow me? I mean, his light is in there, but it's when you make a decision to put your light in a position where it can shine and make a difference. That's when your light is shining. Jesus said that is a lamp brought to be put under a basket? No. Is it not to be set on a lampstand? And the purpose is that things that are hidden can be revealed. He wants people to see what life and reality is all about. Example in history. There was a man named Copernicus. So who was that? Well, Copernicus lived in the early 16th century. He was an astronomer. He looked at stars and space, trying to figure things out. And in his study, he came to the conclusion that the Earth was traveling around the sun. Now, we say like today, duh. But back then, they thought the sun went around the Earth. Now, you know, you would think that, right? You go up in the sky, the sun rises in the east, goes across the sky, right? So it seemed to me that the sun's going around the earth. And that was a common thought then. In fact, it was not only what they believed, it was also the science of the day. And more importantly, the Roman Catholic Church decided that that was what the science was. And so Copernicus, you know, tried to tell people that, no, it's, you know, the earth is not the center of the universe. And he saw that he got to stop talking like that because he was getting threats against his life. He finally just stopped talking about it. And at the end of his life, he wrote a book. And the book was entitled Revolutions of Heavenly Bodies. You know, he figured, I'm going to do it before I die, because if I say it while I'm alive, they're going to kill me. So he waited till he almost died. And the book was written, but wasn't released until he was near death. It's kind of sad that a man that great has to hide his light. Now, that, my friends, is light. Something that makes a difference, that shows people what something really is. Light's about reality. Light is about showing people the way things really are. Well, story goes on. A man named Galileo came along, another astronomer. And, you know, he had a similar, he read Copernicus, and he was convinced he was correct. But Galileo was more bold. He began to speak out. He began to shine his light on the fact that, you know, the sun was the center of our particular, you know, universe as he understood it. And he got in some deep trouble for that. Matter of fact, he was summoned to an inquisition by the Catholic Church at that time because he just did what? Just shine his light. Now, listen, sometimes you shine your light and you get in a little bit of trouble sometimes. Because the thing about light is it just exposes darkness. Light isn't even trying to expose darkness. It's the nature of light. Sometimes in our lives, some water, please. Sometimes in our lives, there are areas that God wants to open up and expose, not in the sense to embarrass us or to hurt us, but in the sense to make us better. We're talking about how to be better at everything. So we cannot become better by not acknowledging the truth and reality of situations, okay? So then Galileo was summoned, and he was condemned for his what he thought, what he believed. Here's the quote. It says, "The first proposition that the sun is the center and does not revolve around the earth is foolish, absurd, and false in theology, and heretical because it is contrary to Holy Scripture." Now, there is no fool like a religious fool. You know what I'm saying? I mean, then and now. Now, I'm not going to go on a crusade right now. We're supposed to talk about the earth and the universe 6,000 years old. That's crazy, y'all. Not that God couldn't do that, but that the church is making the same mistake then as it made now. I mean, now as it made then. The church shouldn't be in the science business, especially when science is showing you something and you refuse to see it. So before I get, you know, crucified and run out of town, I got friends who believe stuff. I'm like, dude, come on. But listen, light, the nature of light is to expose darkness. Just to expose it. So you know what to avoid. So you know where to navigate, how to be better. I'm going to get a podium with a shelf. I'm tired of standing. I need me a shelf, though. I need something with put my water on. You know what I'm saying? So you won't see this thing here long. It's pretty, but I'm tired of it. Okay. Think about what we're doing as a church. We've done outreaches. We do a lot of work. We do work in juvenile center. We go out. Been to Kenya. Been to Nigeria 3 times. We're doing media camps and prison ministries and all these different things we're doing from a program standpoint. Freetown Village is, you know, telling a history of our people in 1600s. I mean, it's just not 16. What year is that? 1800s. My point is, you can bump along through life, but your light not shining until you're revealing something. You follow me? You got to reveal something. People need to see from you something they don't ordinarily see. God put in you grace and wisdom. Sometimes he gave you to challenge the status quo. Sometimes God gives you insights. that do not belong under anything. They should be on a lampstand. And it isn't always done through organizations. I mean, obviously, we all just can't raise up organizations and all that to shine light. But I want to challenge us here that being better at everything must involve letting your light shine, whatever your light is. Amen, somebody? I mean, if you're a singer, I mean, really a singer, you know, don't just sing in the shower. Come on up, sing on the praise team, you know, do a solo. Give yourself, I mean, go sing at the prison ministry. You need to let that light shine where somebody can benefit from it. Now, all the gifts in the world are not singing, you know, and art and dance. I mean, there are things that are less demonstrative. But my point is, I think, quite simple here, that Jesus wants to improve your life and make you better by lifting up parts of your life that he's blessed and helping you shine in a way that will impact people. And people will know that was the Lord working through you. Amen. Now, we gave you Copernicus as an example and Galileo, and these were not preachers, but in the terms of reality, it was important that they would correct the error that the church was propagating, you know, that the earth was the universal universe center. Again, you would think that because, you know, how things look in the sky. Well, Galileo, you know, he was condemned. We read the quote. He was condemned. And matter of fact, it got so bad, he actually recanted. He publicly recanted and said, okay, I was wrong. He backed down, you know. He didn't want to die, you know. He didn't change what he believed. He just changed his posture about that. And I encourage us not to do that, you know. Of course, different situation, different scenario, but in our lives, the light, when God begins to shine his light through you, when God begins to help you help people, and somebody say, I don't want to hear it, don't stop. Don't give up. You know, people today, now, I won't say put your life in danger. I'm not telling you, I'm encouraging you to do that. But rarely does that really become an issue for us. Mostly, we got hurt feelings we worried about. You know, mostly we just got little touchy-feely things that, you know, that concern us. But I would encourage you that if God gives you the grace and you realize that my light is to shine in the area of you know, being involved with one of our ministries, and it takes you somewhere, an encounter with somebody that's not pleasant, someone that want to hear what you have to say, or someone disagrees with you, I mean, it's going to happen in ministry. But please don't let that, you know, make you recant or stop shining your light. And hopefully, you know, again, I'm not saying put your life in danger. I'm just saying to you, don't back up on little stuff. Amen, church. Amen. Don't back up. Now, second point is hear well. This is our bigger point today. Hear well. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. One version said, take heed how you hear. And here's why this is important. Look at verse 24. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. That's the very definition of becoming better. The very fact that we can do something and respond in a certain way, that what we are doing, what we are involved with, results in us having more of the same, more blessing. And examples of that are pretty obvious. Take, for example, this reading. You know, there's no way you're going to become a doctor or almost anything without the basic skill of reading. And or here it is, not just being able to read, but do you actually read? Some folk can read, but don't read. We quoted to you last week that the person who can read, no, the person who won't read has no advantage of the person who can't read. So if you won't read, it's just as well you didn't read, you couldn't read, because if you don't read, you can't discover things. Now, to our context, he says, to him who has, more is given. Well, then, if you have the ability to read, and you in fact read, the Bible and other resources, then as a result of that, you gain more knowledge. You gain more insights. You figure things out. You find answers to questions. When you have, more will be given. You follow me on that one? And even, it also is true, he said there in verse 25, but whoever has, latter part, whoever does not have, what he has will be taken away from him. Well, same example of reading. Well, if you have the ability to read, but don't read, you actually will end up having less in life. Because I promise you, along the way, you're going to do something and make some mistake that's going to cost you. You could have avoided if you had read the fine print or read the document or read whatever it was before you. How many times have people ruined their cars or ruined their appliances for not reading the instructions? Amen, somebody. How many of us, and this is fundamental, this is like the worst one of all, not worst one of all, it's a bad one, run out of gas for not even reading the gauge? Some folk are so bad at reading, they don't read nothing. They don't read books. They don't read the gas gauge. They don't read the mileage before your next oil change. Some folk don't read hardly anything. And folk who don't read, man, they always miss. They're always losing out, missing out, stuff going wrong. Sometimes we hurt ourselves, or we hurt ourselves physically. We don't eat, you know, eat really bad stuff. Or I mean, you think we're not reading. So when you don't have whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. That is, you need to use what God's given you, especially the ability to hear, take in knowledge. You got that? So this is true for knowledge. It's true for our effort. Take, for example, people who, athletes, for example. I wish I was an athlete. I was a pretty good one back in the day, you know, I must say. Somebody said, I'll say it. I was all right. But the thing about that is, if you don't keep the edge, you don't stay athletic. Not only do you not stay athletic, you go backwards. That if you have strength, if you work out, if you do things, it makes you stronger. But if you stop working out, doing things, it makes you weaker physically. Again, obvious points. But the principle of what Jesus said is across the board in every area of life. I'm telling you, this thing, how to be better at everything, it begins with hearing. It begins with what's shining your light, and then hearing. Now, also, look at this, skills and crafts. Those who have skills, whether your skill is, you know, artistic, it may be crafts, it may be how you use your mind about certain things. Well, if you don't keep developing, they call it in-service, you know, in some areas, call it in-service training, continue to, well, I've been to school, I'm done with school. You're never through learning, though. You may be finished with school, but you're never through learning. That's right. If we stop being curious, again, we're talking about the whole idea of the parables are for curious people who have inquisitive minds and hearts. That if we don't continue to develop the skills of our mind, our hands, and our eyes, and stop adopting new techniques, then we're going to be stuck and then begin to go backwards. Could you imagine a doctor or any practitioner in medicine who does not continue to learn about new procedures and new medicines, new ways to treat people? How many, I mean, you know, I remember when I was a kid, when you had a procedure and that anesthesiologist would come into the room, man, they brought some stuff, made you high before you went out. It's called ether. Nobody know about ether. Only us old folks. Here it is, y'all. Ether. They put a mask on you, and they would drip this stuff onto the mask, and you start breathing it. And it holds you down while you hallucinate, thinking stuff's about to attack you and thinking about, and then I'll fly out of the room, you know. My sensation was the room was spinning. I was going to fly out the window before I passed out, you know. Now, how many of you glad that they got new ways of doing this now? give you an IV, and just release a little valve, and you're gone. It's amazing. Last time I had that procedure, I told myself, I'm going to stay awake. Yeah, I'm not going out. I'm going to monitor the whole situation. And while I was thinking that, I went out. While I was thinking those thoughts. So, I mean, we need to get better. Because if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. If you're not getting better, you're not staying the same. If you're not getting better, you're getting worse, according to Scripture. And listen, y'all, we can be better, become better at everything by hearing. The same measure you give to hearing is measured back to you. That's why, you know, I had experience, again, I got to talk about me, I know me best, right? But I had experience of having talents and gifts and things and yet not utilizing it, you know, even academically. And I was a poor student in my first season at college. Got kicked out. GPA got too low, stayed in art school. And I had to go. So you got to go. So what are you talking about? You know how good I am? You know how good I am? I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say it back then. But how can I be art school? Man, I'm known as the art. I was the guy at Arlington High School. I was like the man. How can you put me out of art school, man? How can you do that? I'm an artist. I was the best at the high school, you know. So, well, you know, we don't care about that. You look at these grades. So, you know, I came back on probation. I did well. I got saved and came back and did great. My point is, you can have all of whatever you say you have. But if it's not developed, if it's not allowed to be increased by hearing and by doing what you hear, you don't stay the same, you regress. And the worst part is to think that one is not regressed even when one has. That's a deception to think that, okay, I'm fine, I'm okay. Yes. Now, I got saved, went back to school in my second season. You know, older, I did great. You know, did real well. I was focused. So then the principle is there. Hear well. He who hears, more will be given. And to you who hear, more will be given. You know, even in the things of God and the things that pertain to church, it's so challenging to try to get people to hear. Even to show up to hear, you know. I mean, because it's a fact. If we don't hear the word of God, we don't hear the principles that God is teaching, hear the vision and mission that we're trying to do, hear the dates on events and read the emails and read blogs. I mean, if we don't hear, how can we become better? Right? But the promise is so simple that Jesus made it clear that if we give the correct measure, whatever measure we give to hearing is the measure you get back in results and blessing. That's why I make it a policy to listen to people closely and carefully. I mean, even those who aren't necessarily saying what I want to hear, but if it's accurate, I want to hear it. If it's something that pertains to truth and reality, I want to hear that. But when it comes to the Word of God, we should say, Lord, thank you, Lord, more, Lord, more. We should be willing to hear, not just on Sunday mornings, but every day. It's called devotional time. Take that time in the morning where you're reading Scripture. You're hearing what the words of the Bible are saying to you. You're hearing in your prayer time. You're hearing the encouragement of God. You're hearing the instruction for that day. And no matter what we're looking like on the outside, man, if we're not hearing what God is saying and doing, then we are not prospering in His sight. Amen? And the final area of hearing, again, hearing and increasing through this law of increase, if you will, it's true of knowledge, it's true of effort, it's true of skill, but it's also true of responsibilities, things you are been charged to take care of. that the more responsibility that we carry, the more we can carry. You hear that? The more responsibility I carry, the more I can carry. And those of you who have been employers or supervisors know this very well. You want to raise people up, give them more money, more responsibility, but you can't give somebody more who doesn't show you any more than they're currently handling. Or worse, if a person is doing a job and doing it poorly, you got to make a decision, man, we can't afford to keep this person on staff. You know, folks are fired for a lack of performance more than anything else. You know, people, like I told you, I had a teacher who I got a poor grade on something. I was mad about it. I wouldn't say it back then, you know. I called the man a racist, played the race card on him. I'm the only black guy in here, and you gave me a bad grade on this thing. Now, how silly. I was 18 years old. No, 19, whatever. But he said, Brian, it's bad work. It's just bad work. Don't bring me that. He got mad at me. I'm sorry I said that. He hammered me on that thing. Yeah, you know. Somebody had to do it, you know. He did. He wasn't afraid about my big old black self, like some teachers were. Well, no, the bottom line was, he knew what I could do, and he had seen what I could do. So once you see what somebody can do, you can't take less from them anymore. You cannot take less. When you've seen what somebody can really do, then you can't settle. Let them settle for going backwards anymore. So responsibility, when you carry it, when you do things well, when you take charge and you handle the situation you've been charged to handle, then you get more responsibility, you get more authority, and you get more money too, by the way. You get paid more. But if you shirk the responsibility, if you evade decisions and vacillate and all this, it makes people kind of spineless after a while. It makes folk just, you know, timid and unwilling to do anything because they become accustomed to just not doing stuff. And it's a bad habit. Like teams that lose all the time, sometimes losing has more to do with just the fact that, man, losing puts a certain mindset in people. That's why oftentimes college teams like, well, I'm sad to say, our Indiana team, Indiana Hoosiers basketball, you know, they play powder puff teams. The first four games of the season, they play a team they can beat up on. It's true, you know. They play one good team and three bad teams. And they're 4-1. Yeah, we're 4-1. We should be 0-5. You know, with the effort you're putting out. But see, so the winning mentality is cultivated. Now, in our way of doing it, we don't do it that way by, you know, faking circumstances, making things look a certain way that are not that way. But listen, all we have to do, church, is hear well. Because if you're reading scripture, letting the word of God be taught like I'm doing now, getting in a position where you can let God speak to you through prayer and through worship, when you hear, the Bible says, if you hear, you are going to be given more. To him who has, more will be given. More of what? More of everything. He didn't say what. He said the assumption can be made safely that what you receive from God isn't the one thing but everything you need. And if you've lived in Christ any period of time, you've proven this principle. It's amazing how even though, you know, we give tithes and offerings, we give of our service, we volunteer our talents, and yet I don't get back necessarily more talent from giving talent. I'll give money, but I may get back encouragement. I mean, what you get back from God doesn't always relate to what you're giving. But if you're a person who gives, who's giving and hearing all the time, then you're in a position of always receiving from God. I mean, the favor of God is awesome. I mean, the favor of God is amazing. I mean, things happen, and I've shared things before, and this last trip I was on in California, out there for 8 days and 7 days. Well, yeah, 7, 8, counting the day I left over, had to stay over. I mean, things happen that were just amazing, you know, both in the meetings, the way things went. We filmed the sessions, it all went well, and Even to the point where my wife and I, we were there, we had a room on the second floor. And I'm talking about my knee hurting, right? Well, the second floor, I chose a room that we can go down the stairs, down two flights of stairs into the ballroom area. I had equipment there. I had my cameras and stuff. So I had a room last year. Well, this year, I thought about, well, my knee been hurting me, and I thought I got to climb these stairs all the time, but I thought it's still the shortest path. Well, the thing was, man, climbing those stairs every day for like, wow, what, 6-7 days, several times a day, made my knee better. Because in the end, my knee, it was injured, but it was getting better. But the doctor said, you got to work on it. You got to work that knee. You need therapy. I had me some therapy all last week. Climbing those stairs, carrying stuff. And now my knee feels great. So my point is, I mean, just giving yourself to serve, as I did out there, without being paid, I mean, it comes back all kind of ways. You can't imagine how many angles and directions from which you get blessing from God. If you just have ears to hear. And for a lack of hearing and for a lack of serving, man, yeah, we're making it through. You got money. You got. But listen, we want to be in a place where we're living in a place of favor and overflow that blesses our lives and blesses other people as well. You believe this? Let me finish up here. So Jesus gave these parables, and this parable in particular is very significant. It's called the parable of parables, the parable of the sower, because, man, when you sow, when you give, and when you let yourself hear what God is saying and don't tune him out, and don't tune out people who want to speak to you about God, when you make it a habit to listen and to hear and go into the heart and then act on what you're hearing, he says that more will be given. More of what? More of everything. You become better at everything when you let your light shine. When you hear what God is saying to you. When you act on what he's asking you to do. Others who, you know, who work for him, like myself, ask you to do things. If you can just have a heart to hear, everybody, everything gets better. Do you believe this? Amen. It's true. Now, when you get some time, let me give you, I hope you hear this. Just read the entirety. Read all of chapter 4 of Mark. Just read it. Read that today or tomorrow. Read that. All right? Now, I'm saying read it. You hear me say that? If you do it, I guarantee you it'll bless you. You'll walk away thinking, man, I'm glad I read that. I am so happy because there's so much in there. Not just that one chapter, but when you are involved with a daily habit of reading scripture, when you're involved with reading and then doing devotions daily, these are all things that add to your life. All right. Now, I'm assuming you're all doing that. I don't know. But if you're not, I'm telling you, it's a great blessing. Now, in terms of the kingdom of God and local church especially, this is critical because when we don't hear what's being said and we don't do what's being asked of us, and we can do those things. If we don't hear God, who are we listening to? Right? I mean, if we're more responsive to the things just around us in our culture more than we are to God himself, well, that just makes us worldly, you know? But we want to be people who are of the world, who enjoy things of the world, but then people of God who then follow God and experience the best. In the airport yesterday, we get off the off the flight. Well, I did. I was heading to my baggage claim, and I saw a young man. You know, they have these moving walkways, right? And you walk on them. You walk faster walking. Well, the whole thing's moving. You're walking. Some folks stand still. I keep walking usually. Well, for some reason, you know, this happens. You got somebody walking the other way. You got somebody, you know, just for the fun of it, I guess, who's walking opposite the moving walkway. Like going up escalator, that kind of stuff, you know. And he's doing this. You know, I thought, y'all, it happened. I mean, it was a grown man, too. I'm like, dude, come on, man. Don't do this, man. Don't try to out. Well, he made it. He walked fast enough where he went out the other side. He went out the entrance of the moving walkway. But here's my thought. My thought was, in some ways, that's how we're living today. Because if all we do is kind of stand around and stand still, we get taken along whatever path the culture is taking us. We get sucked into whatever destination that the life is taking everybody. In some real sense, we who have ears to hear, who understand the principle I just taught you here, we have to be those who, like, we're walking opposite the direction of a moving walkway. You follow me? And in fact, if you walk very slowly, you won't even keep up with the speed of the walkway, and the scenery is still passing you. So you must have a pace where you're walking fast enough to overcome the momentum of a sidewalk, and yet enough where you're making progress. Now, all of life is not some big struggle like that. I'm just saying, in terms of thinking, we should be people who are curious enough to want to understand the better things of life. And y'all, life is full of great things. You know, amen, somebody. And, you know, and y'all know I go places to see things. But nothing I've ever seen compares to just having the inward sense that God loves me and I love him and I love serving his people. I mean, what's better than that? What's better than knowing God loves you and you loving God and serving somebody? You know what I'm saying? But that only happens if we can let our light shine. It only happens when we hear well and that we're not losing out. We're not having things taken away from us for a lack of activity. We're not losing our standing in the kingdom. We're not losing out on our spiritual virtue. We're not losing out on our legacy because we're not hearing what God says and acting on it. Amen, church? So say this, Lord, thank you. I have ears to hear. I have a light to shine. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, as you said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Lord, I have ears to hear. I am hearing. I am aware. I am focused. I am curious about the things of God. Help me, Lord, to go forward, even against the momentum of this culture in these times. Give me grace, Lord. Give me strength, Jesus, to shine your light and hear you at all times, in all places. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, let me ask you to act on a word here this morning. And, you know, we've preached the message and you've understood, I think, what we've said. But God's looking to see what you're going to do with what you've heard. And I've asked you to read Galatians, Mark chapter 4. Right? You heard that? I mentioned about the daily time of, you know, devotion and prayer. I mentioned about the things we're doing in church, and we, you know, the bulletin has things listed there. I mean, there's just opportunities to hear all the time. And what's good about God is, man, these things are never burdensome. Never a big burden. And what we ask to be done is, I think, pretty minor, you know, in terms of time. But yet, if we can act on the things, and we talked this last fall about being a one accord and, you know, all that kind of stuff. If we can work together the way God said and have ears to hear, not just now, but on Wednesdays and Sunday school. I mean, if we can just put ourselves in position to hear and do. The Bible says more will be given. And that more isn't just personal. I think it's also corporate. I know for a fact that a lot of what God wants to do in every church, and this church included, depends on the corporate willingness of people to hear. Amen. And you can preach, we can teach and preach until the cows come home or whatever they say, but we it comes down to personally, every one of us has to have a heart to hear. It's the parable of parables. It's the master key. It is the master key. To him who has, more will be given. More will be given. More of what? More of everything. A lot of times the things that we really want is locked up just for lack of hearing.